Today is a very special day because we are celebrating the disappearance and the appearance of three great acharyas. Who disappeared and who appeared? Anybody has a calendar on them? Okay. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained that the appearance and disappearance of great acharyas are both equally auspicious. It is called prakat and aprakat lila. The appearance, of course, is very auspicious because we get an opportunity to personally associate with great devotees. Great. Doesn't say anything. I don't think it says anything. Is everybody's disappearance? That's what it said. Wow, they all disappeared on the same not in the same year though. Of course, we understand that when the spiritual master disappears, it is because Krishna is calling him back to home, back to Godhead, to be with him, or he is engaging him in another service in another place. But nevertheless, for the disciples, it is also a very sad occasion. Because they are losing the association of a person who was very, very dear to them. There are two ways to associate with great Vaishnavas. One is by vapu, or the physical form, and one is by vani, or the sound representation. So, vani is more important in terms of our picking up the spiritual energy in terms of our eternally associating with great Vaishnavas. But the physical association is very, very sweet, and it is not an easy thing to lose that sweet association. So, disciple actually feels great separation at the time of the disappearance of the spiritual master. And in this song by Narottam Das, he actually says that feeling the separation of all these great Vaishnavas, I can only beat my head against a rock and cry piteously. So, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is related to the other two devotees, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, by coming in the line of Vaishnavas. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted Raghunath Das Goswami as his spiritual guide, although he was not directly the Diksha disciple of Raghunath Das. And you will find at the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Goswami offers his obeisances to Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, Rupa Raghunatha Padayarash Chaitanya Charitamrit Kahe Krishnadas, offering my obeisances at the feet of Rupa and Raghunath, I, Krishnadas, recite Chaitanya Charitamrita. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and his situation was very, very interesting because he was actually born in a family of Vaishnavas. He was born in the 16th century, right at the beginning, 1504. And he grew up and got a very good education. In fact, he was encouraged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to finish his education. When he was a very young man, he had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, and he remained with him there for 8 months. And actually, he had met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu earlier than that. He had met him when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had stayed at the house of Tapan Mishra. So at that time, Raghunath Bhatta was a young boy. And he would come, and sometimes he would massage the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And obviously he got special mercy from that. His duty when he stayed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. His father, Tapan Mishra, had, of course, being a great Vaishnava, he had given him a good education both materially and spiritually. And amazingly enough, he was also a very expert cook. Of course, ladies are also very expert cooks, but in India you find, actually there's, Prabhupada said that when we're having kirtan, or we're engaging in Krishna Katha, and the deity door is open, that it is appropriate to offer obeisances like this, because we're already offering obeisances to the holy name, to the sound incarnation of Krishna, and it is superfluous to offer obeisances to the deities when you're already offering obeisances by concentrating on the holy name. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was speaking on Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan. He was actually going on parikrama, and he had a large group of sannyasis, brahmacharis, and also many householders following him. So it was announced that Bhakti Siddhanta would be speaking on Bhagavad Gita, and that also a group of people were going for darshan of different temples of Vrindavan. So a group of sannyasis and other householders following them went for the tour of Vrindavan. And when they returned, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said, "Did you enjoy your eye exercise?" And Srila Prabhupada also told us that if people visit the temple and see the form of the deities, but don't hear the sound of Krishna's holy names, then they're not receiving the full benefit of visiting the temple. Actually, he said that they get much, much more benefit by hearing the holy name. So I'm simply repeating what Prabhupada said, and you may have heard other things, but this is a direct quote from Srila Prabhupada. If we're offering obeisances to the holy name by hearing and chanting, there is no need to offer further obeisances other than like this. Keep in mind, I'm not trying to create any controversy. For example, I notice when kirtan is going on, aarti in the morning, and a sannyasi comes into the temple, everybody stops chanting and bows down. Hare Krishna. So anyway, Raghunath Bhatta was a very good cook, and he was trained by his Vaishnav parents. And when he was staying with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to regularly cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And naturally, he would take the remnants of the food which he offered to Mahaprabhu. We know that Narad Muni actually became a great devotee simply by eating the remnants of foodstuff offered to the Mahabhagavatas. So later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Raghunath to go to Vrindavan and be under the shelter of Rupa Goswami. He was still very young at that time. There's one pastime here. When he first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can't find it. He was actually very skinny. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him to be under the shelter of Swarup Damodar because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like to see his devotees in a sickly condition, or looking like sickly condition. After he spent 8 months with Mahaprabhu, he took permission to leave. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that Raghunath was an advanced devotee and he was not married. So he said to him, do not marry. He forbade him to marry. And Prabhupada mentioned in India that if someone joins the ashram, joins the brahmachari ashram, and this was especially meant for Indians because they understand the seriousness of joining a brahmachari ashram, he said that they should never think of marrying. When they join the ashram, they're brahmachari for their whole life and later on maybe sannyasa. Another interesting pastime of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was that when he first met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he had finished his education, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him to go home again. He told him to return home and to serve his father and mother. Of course, his father and mother were very pure devotees of Krishna. But his instruction was that you return home, serve your aged father and mother, and try to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava. So, of course, the lesson here is that one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee of Krishna, not from some professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam or from someone who is an impersonalist. In the Puranas it is stated, Avaishnava mukod girnam putam hari katamritam sravanam naiva kartavya. One should not hear sravanam naiva kartavya, even Vedic literature from an Avaishnava. Sarpochista yathapaya, because it will have poisonous effects. We know that Mayavadi Bhasha Shunilehoi Sarvanasa. If we hear Mayavadi Bhasha, just like commentary on scripture, that is called Bhasya. Govinda Bhasya, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. Commentary on the Shastra. We should not hear any commentary from Mayavadis because it will pollute our mind with impersonal ideas. And then the other point to learn from this is that if one wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to render service to the devotees of Krishna. If one wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, one has to render service to devotees of Krishna. Now, Tamdas Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nishtara Paiche Keva. Without serving a self-realized Vaishnav, no one has ever been released from the materialistic way of life. So, of course, Raghunath Das worshipped his parents who were Vaishnavas. So it can be any Vaishnava. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada comments in a purport, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath not to marry, Prabhupada says, generally, a person cannot make much advancement in spiritual consciousness if he is married. He becomes attached to his family and is prone to sense gratification. Thus, his spiritual advancement is very slow and almost nil. Nevertheless, all of our acharyas, most of them were married. And even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, of course, he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. He never spilled a drop of semen in his life.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that
He had a perfect brain. He could remember anything that he had read even 20 years before. And recited verbatim. But he said that if I could have Krishna conscious children, then I would be prepared to have sex life hundreds of times. But the point here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see that Raghunath Bhatta was very advanced and therefore he told him not to marry. Raghunath Bhatta was formerly the gopi named Raga Manjari. When he did go to Vrindavan, he remained under the care of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was the head of all of the six Goswamis. He had a number of disciples and even some wealthy disciples. He built a beautiful temple for Govinda, Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. And he personally made various ornaments for the deity, including a flute and shark-shaped earrings. And that, of course, that deity of Govindaji is now in Jaipur. He was taken to Jaipur when the Muslims attacked Vrindavan. One thing about the character of Raghunath Bhatta was that he would never listen to blasphemy of a Vaishnava. Nor would he listen to talk of a Vaishnava's behavior. His mentality was that everybody is engaged in Krishna service. This also Bhakti Siddhanta, he was very, very strict in that regard. He wrote a few letters instructing the members of the Mutt what the rules and regulations would be for the Mutt. And he said, no one shall blaspheme any Vaishnava. And if he ever heard some brahmacharis talking badly about another Vaishnava, if he was in hearing range, then he would slap them in the face. You didn't have to live in the ashram if you didn't want to. Raghunath was known to be a very gentle person. And he followed the rules and regulations of Shastra very strictly. Prabhupada says it is the duty of a Vaishnava Acharya to prevent his disciples and followers from violating the principles of Vaishnava behavior. He should always advise them to strictly follow the regulative principles, which will protect them from falling down. In this regard, it is written, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vasyaya videyatma prasadam adigacchati. The regulative principles are the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada translates this as the regulative principles of freedom. The regulative principles will help us to become free from bondage to lust, anger, and greed. Although a Vaishnava preacher may sometimes criticize others, Prabhupada did. Raghunath Bhatta avoided this. Even if another Vaishnava was actually at fault, Raghunath Bhatta would not criticize him. That is the position of a Mahabhagavat. Actually, even if one is serving Maya, in a higher sense, he is also a servant of Krishna. Because Maya is Krishna's Maya. Because Maya is a servant of Krishna, anyone serving Maya serves Krishna indirectly. Therefore it is said, Keha mani keha na mani sabathan radas jena mani thara hoy se pape nash. Some accept him where others do not. Yet everyone is his servant. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. Okay. Today is also the disappearance day. Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And I think we'll read and discuss more about them this evening. Are there any comments or questions? Yes? You want to repeat the question? He says that Narad Muni took the remnants of the foodstuffs of the Mahabharatas after asking their position. What if he had just stolen it? I mean, it didn't have their permission. Would it have the same potency? I'm just trying to think of an example. I would be inclined to say yes, because Narad Muni, of course, his character is described as being very gentle, and his behavior was very good. But there are other examples of persons whose behavior was not good, but who got the prasadam of great Vaishnavas and they became purified. So I don't think the potency of prasadam depends entirely upon the character. I admit that there are two things. There is eating prasadam and there is honoring prasadam, and of the two, honoring prasadam is superior. Let us say that prasadam is always effective no matter what stage of development you are at in your spiritual evolution. I guess the most extreme example is the dog which was following Shivananda Singh. I don't think that the dog knew that it was Krishna prasadam he was getting. Yet the potency was such that he went back to Godhead. But I'm sure there was a process where his consciousness evolved to the stage where he did understand more about the importance of taking that nectarian prasadam. If you come to the temple and you see the deity simply as some stone, then for you the deity will be stone. But if you see the deity as Krishna, then Krishna will attract you and purify you. But someone who even sees the deity, even as stone, sometime in their future life, they're going to get another opportunity to hear the holy name, and gradually they'll make progress. So you can say that the potency is acting on the person. It just takes a little longer. Any other questions? Someone else? Yeah.
Végén volt itt a felolvasott Maharaj részletet, hogy nekünk mindig arról kell prédikálni, hogy tartsák be az elveket, szabályozó elveket. Tehát mindenkit arra kell elkezdeni, hogy tartsák be szabályozó elveket. És hogy ez teljesen, hogyha valaki nincsen olyan szinten, hogy elfogadja a szabályozó elveket, teljesen arra biztatni, hogy nem vagy, csak gyere, csinálj valamilyen szolgálatot. Nem is kell betartani a szabályozó elveket, csak legalább valamilyen szolgálatot végez. Nem, hogy én ezt kérdezem, hogy ez helyes-e. Ő még felolvasott egy részletet, hogy mindenkit arra kell biztatni, hogy szabályozó elveket tartsa.
Everyone heard the question? Yeah. What is that verse? Rupa Goswami says that first of all, by any means, even by any trick, get someone to chant Krishna's name or take Krishna prasadam or think of Krishna in some way. Then later on, introduce rules and regulations. I met one devotee in Germany. He was in his, he was about 55 years, 55, between 55 and 60 years old. He, in his youth, or in his young married life, I guess he'd been about 30, 35 or something. He had a wife, he had a job, he had money. But he became an alcoholic. And it totally ruined his life. He lost his wife, he lost his job, he lost all his money, and he ended up on the street, just like a beggar. And then he met the devotees. No, that's not what happened. Then he joined Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous, you haven't heard of that here, huh? Yeah, you have, they have that here? You haven't heard of them, huh? It's a group of people, they're all over the world. I met him in Germany. Maybe people don't get drunk in Hungary, huh? People don't, they're not alcoholics here? Okay, that's what I thought. They're a group of people who are, they get together and they admit the fact that they're alcoholics and that their lives are being controlled by alcoholism, and by that association they convince each other to give up alcohol, and they keep that association throughout their life. So because they know that even if they take one drink, it's enough to make them fall down again. Loosely related with the Bible. Yeah, it's not, they're not denominational, but they do try to put God, you know, in the center. Organized. And somewhere along the line, he heard the Maha Mantra. He didn't go to a temple, and he doesn't exactly remember where he heard it. But he just liked the sound of the Maha Mantra and the tune. So for 28 years, from the time he was, I guess, 37, he was chanting Hare Krishna. He never met devotees at any time. He never read any books. But just in the car or wherever he would go, he would just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then when he was in Wiesbaden, working for the American military as a civilian, he met the devotees there and started to become a sadhaka. So it was about, in a period of about 4 or 5 months, and when I went there, I met him, and he attended a few classes, and of course he was discussing also with the devotees and attending the Sunday programs, etc. And gradually he started following the regulative principles. He gave up meat eating, and even he was prepared to marry his girlfriend. She was a 20-year member of the local Alcoholics Anonymous. But yeah, at one stage he asked me about initiation, and he was very enthusiastic. And I told him, well, there is this process where you write an exam, and if you pass the exam, then you can choose a spiritual master. And when I left him, he was very enthusiastic. So then when I reached Ljubljana, I got an email letter from him. And he was really freaked out. You know that word? Okay. He had been thinking about it, and he felt that he had been cheated. Because when he had first met the devotees, they had told him that just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. It's very simple. Nothing else. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And then he said, then they asked me to give up meat. Then the next thing was regulative principles, then no illicit sex, then this, then that. And where was just chant Hare Krishna? So sometimes people get frightened when you introduce things too quickly. Especially older people who are very attached. There's a saying in English that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. So, but anyway, the story has a happy ending. The next day he got his intelligence together and he's again chanting his rounds, and maybe going a little more slowly this time. It took him 28 years to meet the devotees, so. Maybe it'll take him 56 years to follow the regulative principles. Grantaraj! Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Tirobhav Mahamahotsav Ki!